Problem is, we know that doesn't always happen. In fact, you can go and read what happened with the nation of Israel in the Psalms especially. There are several Psalms that talk about this, that there was the generation who knew God, there was another generation who knew about God, but then there was a third generation who didn't know God. Because it never got transferred. It never was picked up contagiously there, never impacted their lives. And one generation to another generation, they just totally forgot about God and drifted farther away from God. So our faith as parents, our faith in our families, ought to impact our children and our families so much that they would want to make it their own. Notice that his faith not only was evident or seen there in his family, it was evident to his neighbors. Now notice that Noah worked by faith. As Noah's working, as he's building on this ark, as he's sharing this news of the judgment that's coming, you understand that Noah's character about who he is must have been evident to everyone who saw him. So if you look at verse 9 there in Genesis 6, it says that these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man. And not only was he a righteous man, he was blameless in his generation. What does that mean? Does that mean he was perfect? No, there's none perfect but God. There's none perfect but Jesus. None of us will be perfect until we get to heaven. But he was a righteous man, which means right with God in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, it meant to be genuine and secure. Noah was both. He was an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith, that Hebrews 11:7 tells us about. So Noah conducted himself in a just manner before people and before God. And he also witnessed by faith. Notice the word there in verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. That could mean a couple of things. First, it could refer to how Noah conducted himself in the midst of the evil generations that came and went in his lifetime. It could have been a reference to the root meaning of generations, which means to go in a circle. That would mean that Noah found a new center for his life. And his whole life revolved around God and his will. His life would have been a testimony by virtue of it being centered in the ways of God and fulfilling God's will. Notice he didn't allow his life to be pulled into that wickedness that was all around him. His life wasn't pulled into that violence that was all around him. Noah's life was controlled by his faith in God. Understand that God has to be the center of our lives today, just like he was the center of the life of Noah. And you can read more about his generations and the impact that he had on his generations because of the new center he found in his life of God. Because it tells us that he walked by faith. Noah was a man who was a friend of God. He was a man who walked with God, as verse 9 tells us there. As we said, the only other person who is described as walking with God is Enoch, his great-great-grandfather. Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah, Genesis 5, 21 to 29. In his day, he was the only person left in the world who walked with God. In all of his life, he was walking against the grain. He was going against the culture. He was going in the opposite direction from everybody else. Noah's walk with God was all the more remarkable when you realize that God told him to do something that had never been done before. Who knew what an ark even was? Nobody had ever seen one. There had never been any rain on the earth at that time like this, so who knew what a massive flood was? But Noah heard God tell him, this is what's going to happen, and this is what you need to do. And Noah walked with God and received understanding from him. And so you will see that his faith was enlightened by God. because of their close relationship, because he walked with God. If you want to grow in your faith, that's where the key is. Walk with God, be with God, be in his word, be in prayer, be in that close relationship with him. And because he was in that close relationship with God, God includes Noah in his plans for the earth. As we saw earlier, God tells those who care. And so we see that God is seen reviewing the earth. He's looking over the earth, verse 11. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. What a picture. A picture of the earth from God's perspective. Being corrupt and filled with violence. Violence and unrestrained evil. All of that was flaunted by everyone and applauded by everyone. Everywhere God looked, his eyes were filled with the terrible condition of his creation. He's also seen revealing his wrath when you go on down to verse 13. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh. For the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. God begins his message to Noah, and humanity has come to an end, except for Noah and his family. God was going to cut off every human being who ever lived on the face of the earth. He was going to destroy them along with the earth itself. That in and of itself would have been a frightening revelation to Noah. Except that God begins to give him some specific instructions. Noah, I'm going to destroy this earth. If it stopped right there, that's terrifying. If you stop with the wages of sin is death, that's terrifying. Because that says there is no hope after death. But you must include the second aspect of it. And that's what Noah here did. It was a frightening revelation to know that God was going to bring judgment. But he begins to give him some instructions. He's going.